You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to the Pride of Detroit PODcast. Welcome back if you are a repeat customer. Welcome back if it's your first time. You know what? You were probably here before in some past life. Maybe you just dreamed about it. Maybe you precogged into the PODcast before. Either way, welcome back. I'm Chris Perfett, the adequate host here for PrideOfDetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. You know where to find us. This is the Pride of Detroit PODcast, brought to you by Sadness and apathy. And you know what? Let's get everyone introduced here, because we got to dive right into this one. It's a late night for us here. We've been burning a lot of candles at multiple ends, various ends, with Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader at Detroit Online, dragged out of bed here at this ungodly hour. How are you doing, Jeremy?
I am burning candles to get the stench out of my house for watching that game.
You're burning enough candles is probably burning down your house.
Yeah, talking head style.
Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock god. At Ryan underscore POD. He's here as well. He just came in from playing some hockey. How are you?
Smelly. But yeah. I mean, not as smelly as the Detroit Lions franchise.
Nailed
Let's
it.
You always want to start with Let's dump right into it. You always want to start with a score. I want to just cold open this podcast, and I should have, but I just have to do my, you know, complimentary introductions. First off, you always see the score. 34-22 Chicago Bears over the Detroit Lions. The Chicago Bears snap their 10-game losing streak of "we own the Bears" to the Detroit Lions. And let me tell you something, man. What I saw out there was kind of pitiful, and it feels bad. It feels real bad, because it just feels like the Lions have lost that arms race out there. I'm not going to be depressive about it. I'm just trying to give the facts, just the facts, man. Feels like the Lions have kind of lost that arms race, because the Bears, the only thing the Bears did not do well in this game was run the ball. Everything else, though, they tore apart the Lions. Jeremy, I think you've been holding this in. You want to get to it right away? Your thoughts?
Oh, man. I mean, nothing about this game was surprising, but it's just so demoralizing watching this team come out so slow each week, and all of your worst worries about this team. I mean, you look at the Lions and who they are through eight games, and you have a pretty good grasp on who they are. Their offense is struggling. They can't stop the pass. Their run defense is getting better. But you hope that a guy like Matt Patricia, who's, you know, built his whole quote-unquote career on adjusting and getting better in the second half and coming in with a different game plan each week to counteract, you expect to see something different. You hope to see something different. That's the whole hope behind Matt Patricia. This is the whole reason why I was optimistic going forward, is that I thought maybe the defense would get better. I thought maybe the team would make some adjustments. I thought maybe the offense would need a week or two without Golden Tate to realize, what the hell are they going to do without Golden Tate? And none of that is happening. They are who exactly we thought they are, and they're a horrible, horrible team right now. I can't make an argument that this team isn't a bottom five team right now, because yes, the run defense is improving, almost exclusively because of Damon Harrison. That's it. No one else is getting better right now. Jared Davis does not need another couple weeks in this defense. He's not getting better.
At this rate, how long is the Bob Quinn, Matt Patricia regime going to last? Because this isn't just a matter of like Patricia not getting these guys ready or us finding another coordinator to fire, but there's just draft picks out there just not performing well at this point. Guys brought in through free agency through these years that just, it just doesn't seem like this was supposed to be the culmination of the blueprint Bob Quinn was putting together, right? This team this year. This is supposed to be it. I know they tried to preach patience. Yeah, patience. And it's like, no, you fired a guy who was going 9-7, and this is what you're getting instead. And I have no other words for it other than just, and I'm sure Ryan will appreciate this, and I'm opening up the door for Ryan to speak, but this ain't it, Chief. This ain't it. What the Lions are doing out there, this ain't it. And it feels like the Lions did everything according to what you're supposed to do by old standards of the NFL. And they ran up against a team who seems to be doing it right by new standards. We talked with Robert Zaglinski. You can go back and listen to that passive aggressive stuff. You should listen to it, especially if you're Ryan Matthews, and listen to all the barbs Rob left for you, Ryan. But like this, he's totally right. This was a Bears offense that doesn't have a great quarterback, but has an offensive scheme that just works. It works with the personnel it gets. It feels like the Lions don't have anything working out there. It feels like they just came into the like, you can see it on some of those guys too. They're just getting frustrated out there. They don't know what I don't want to say they don't know what they're doing, but they're definitely not executing on whatever the hell they're trying to do out there. I don't know, Ryan, like me and Jeremy have opened this up with our frustrations. How are you feeling?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I'm past the point of frustration, and it kind of sucks because I feel like I'm sinking into apathy a little bit. And I know that's just not a good place to be.
We can't have that. We've got to get our downloads on Spotify.
I know, totally. So I think I want to take this back to what you said about how, you know, at the beginning of the season, Patricia specifically talked about patience, and that doesn't jibe at all with the comments that Quinn made when he decided to let go of Caldwell, and he was talking about how this team wasn't a 9-7 team and that they should be a better team, and their sights should be set on things like playoffs and winning divisions and things of that nature. So I don't think it's fair to the fans of this team to do that. And with the way that this team is performing, like, this isn't a patience thing. Like, because I think what was important about what Jeremy was saying is, like, you're not seeing, like, some of these players progress. Like, Jared Davis, like, is who he is at this point. You know, he's been in this scheme for, you know, eight regular season games. Or nine regular season games, but you know, he had all summer. He had the preseason. I mean, so you have these players who are Bob Quinn's players and they're Matt Patricia's players now. And when you're not seeing the fruits of the labor, when you're not seeing like progress, then it's like, well, what am I being patient about? Like, what's the patience for? Like, what am I being patient on? What am I waiting for? Like, what is it I'm supposed to be seeing? Because if it's supposed to be like, you know, Chris, you talked about like the Bears might not have a very good quarterback, but they have an offensive scheme that just works because they play to the, you know, the strengths of their players. I'm not seeing that like on defense. I'm not seeing that on offense. So if it's failures on the coaching staff, but you're asking me to be patient because you're a new coaching staff, it's hard as a fan to buy in on that because it's like, well, I don't know what I'm being patient about.
Yeah, and I hate to start big picture. I really do, because these things you're saying, Ryan, are things we've been harping on all season as this Lions team just keeps imploding. But it needs to be said over and over, though. Like, and I think you're right about guys kind of like, I think the most surprising thing, if we can narrow in this game a little bit too, was how Matthew Stafford played to me. Like, some of these guys out here are just, I don't know, Jeremy, if regressing is the right word, but there are some guys out there that are just, like, everything we talked about this team moving forward just was on display looking the opposite way today.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think with Matthew Stafford, you can use the word regressing. He was one of the best quarterbacks over the past 2.5 years going into this season, and I think expectations were just as high or maybe even higher because the offensive line was quote-unquote fixed. And if you want to talk regression, I don't know what's going on with the offensive line. I don't know what's going on with Taylor Decker.
I thought that 10 sack game last week was an aberration. 6 sacks on the day on Stafford.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that also not completely surprising given how good this Bears defense is.
Sure,
and
yeah.
You know, given the fact that TJ Lang was out. But I mean, the offense just in general regressing quite a bit. I mean, to be fair, this offense was never great under Jim Bob Cooter. It was good, and Stafford had suddenly become more patient and more careful with the ball, and the lines weren't killing teams like the Chiefs and the Saints and, you know, all these high power offense are, but they were controlling games. They were able to put up 30 points when they needed to. And if they got into a shootout, which it never felt like they wanted to do, they could. Now that's out of the window. They can't do it. They can only score touchdowns in the fourth quarter when they're already down 25 points and, you know, rely on onside kicks and, you know, crazy picks to get them back in the game, like against, you know, San Francisco and all that. And it's clearly going to Matthew Stafford's head. I don't know what's going on with him, but he's making a lot of poor plays. He's holding onto the ball way too long. And he's not the biggest problem this team has right now. That's by far the pass defense, because they're almost as much of a sieve on their pass defense as they were in 2008. It's that bad right now. But Matthew Stafford certainly isn't playing to the level we're used to seeing, and that's why all the people are coming out of the woodwork. The Stafford haters who've been dormant for 2.5 years have risen again, and we're living in the land of the dead.
I mean, there is part of it on him for just, again, like I've not seen a quarterback just suddenly pumpkin like this in a good long while. But I'm trying to find other silver linings out here. Like, Kenny Golladay played fine, I guess.
He did. I mean, we can still, the one bit of optimism that I get to cling to every week is the 2018 draft class. And it's the reason why I'm not close to fire Bob Quinn yet. Obviously, you look at the Bears and you think like, wow, you know, they really turn things around in a hurry. Aren't they amazing? Why can't the Lions do that with the first time head coach? The Bears had building blocks. They had a good defense last year. No one just noticed because their offense was god awful. They went out, they had some pieces already in Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard, and they got a couple more this offseason, and that's all it took. The Lions were a much bigger project, and I know people don't believe that since they were 9-7 last year, but they were, because the defense was a mess last year. It still is a mess. The Lions couldn't go out and, you know, get a defensive end. It's much tougher, in my opinion, to build a good defense than it is a good offense. That being said, the offense taking a huge step back means that Jim Bob Cooter's getting fired at the end of the year. It's just going to happen. It absolutely is going to happen.
No, I totally think he is, but I'm wondering two things now. One is, like you mentioned, 9-7, it was absolutely overachieving, but I'm just wondering how you square that circle, because as Ryan said, like, you know, 9-7, not good enough on one hand, but then I'm also hearing that the Lions were a much bigger project than something like the Chicago Bears. And I'm just trying to square what exactly is going on with this team. It baffles me. I love trying to figure out the problem of it, that we have Schrodinger's team here that is both simultaneously good and bad and dead and not dead. And then at the same time, you mentioned Jim Bob Cooter getting fired. I'm just wondering how many more firings are there going to be? Like, I don't know how much more we can keep overhauling the staff right now before we have to start asking questions, and I know it's only the first year for him, but asking questions about Patricia too.
Yeah, I think with Patricia, obviously is going to come patience, because so long as Bob Quinn is your general manager, like, Matt Patricia is going to be your coach. Like, I think those two, you know, they came in almost, you know, with one another, and they have that, you know, 5-year extension. So, like, you know, Quinn's extension matches up with Patricia's contract, and like, those two are just like your guys at this point. And I don't even know. I mean, Jim Bob Cooter might make it through the entire, you know, the entirety of the 2018 season. It wouldn't shock me if they decide to make a change, but at the same time, I don't know if they would. I think they'll probably just ride things out. Because honestly, I mean, if we wake up, you know, the following morning and Jim Bob Cooter's gone, it's not going to change anything to me. I don't think so. I don't think that sitting at 3-6 that all of a sudden you're going to make some changes and you know, make any noise in this 2018 season.
It's not good right now. I hate to say it.
It's not good.
It's not good. Yeah. And I'm trying not to turn people away from it, but let's take a quick break here. Rebound. We'll try to go a little deeper into this game and maybe talk about the future. Maybe I've got a mini rage corner, I guess. I'm not going to play the music for it, but just like a two word rage corner, two sentence rage corner, I guess. And we'll see what else we've got here. We're recording late on Sunday, so if anything does come out about Jim Bob Cooter, we can't be held responsible for it on Monday. Can't do that. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back on the Pride of Detroit PODcast late night edition here as we are recording on a Sunday. Don't matter much for you. You're going to be listening to it whenever you listen to it, probably on Monday. Who knows? It's probably not late night for you. That's the power of podcasting, is that we can record at any time. You won't hear us struggling to keep Jeremy and Ryan awake. And that's fine. You'll be listening in your car. We try to make the magic happen here. So I think what we're going to do for this, Ryan, Jeremy, is I think I'm going to throw names at you and you're going to tell me, like, we want to do individual performances, right? Do you guys have any names here that you want to hone in on, or should I just start throwing names at you guys?
Well, let me start out with some positives, because I think a lot of Lions fans that are tuning in right now are probably just desperately looking for something happy to cling to, or maybe they just want to hear us yell.
Just a raft,
probably
a mixture of both. Yeah. There's some pathos going on here for sure.
But yeah, let's start out on defense, because I feel that's where probably people feel the most helpless. And the one guy that we're sure is going to be a part of this team in the future, Quandre Diggs, I thought actually had a pretty good game. He had that missile tackle early in the game, and I believe he also had a pass breakup. And while there's not a lot of hope for the secondary this year, he's the kind of guy that's going to stick around along with Darius Slay, along with Tracy Walker, and you have at least some pieces there. It's not a lot. It's not nearly enough, but I think there's reason to be confident about Quandre Diggs going forward. Obviously, Darius Slay is fine. Hopefully he gets his knee right. Hopefully he rebounds from a subpar year from him, but it's still a good year. And then we'll see what Tracy Walker has. Obviously, we've only seen a little bit, kind of the tip of the iceberg there. He actually had the only other pass defense in this game as well. So maybe there's some optimism there, but I'm still glad that Quandre Diggs is on the team. He's a key part to this defense, and he will be going forward. And that's why the Lions gave him an extension before the year started.
Yeah, I thought he did pretty good there too. I'm just trying to think if there's anyone else on defense I can probably give good accolades to right now. Ryan, do you have a name that you want to go through positive before we dive into the rest of the mess?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, the one guy who is the saving grace for the Lions 2018 defense and the reason why they can, you know, not be a sieve like the rest of their defense is, you know, Damon Harrison. Like, he's come in.
What a
and
good pickup.
Yeah, pick yeah, totally. I think he has single-handedly transformed the Lions run defense into something that is just the strongest part of their unit, which is kind of depressing, but I'm trying to make this into a good point. Like, it's a good thing to have Damon Harrison because he's under contract for the next couple of years. And, you know, if he's this productive, hopefully, oh man, see, I'm doing it again. I'm like, hopefully he doesn't turn into Glover Quinn. But yeah, so Damon Harrison, you know, the one thing that super bummed me out is after the game, he got on social media and he was talking about how, you know, he was responsible for some plays, like the touchdown by Tariq Cohen early in the game, and another running plays. Like, those plays were, you know, directly on me. I should have made plays on those. And it's like, dude, don't beat yourself up. You are not the problem with this team. Like, if anything, like, I mean, today the Bears had 22 carries for 54 yards. Like, awesome. Perfect. Jordan Howard had 11 carries for 21. Tariq Cohen was 7 carries for 15 yards. Like, Damon Harrison, you are anything but the problem. You have been the one saving grace of this Lions defense.
Yeah, stopping up
Deshaun Hand.
Stopping up Tariq Cohen was big in my book. I was terrified of him coming in. And you know what? I take the positive spin on him talking on Twitter, because I come from some harsh critique stuff too. It's like, sometimes you just want to critique yourself on that. It's not beating yourself up. It's just like, yeah, yeah, that's fine. Just notes for the future, you know?
And I mean, it was kind of relieving and refreshing to see some guy not only say like, hey, my bad, players do that all the time, but he like went into specifics. He says, I should have made that play on the backside A gap on the 3-yard touchdown. And then he has like the timestamps down on these. I don't know if he looked them up or if he memorized them. He's like, 8:14 second quarter QB draw on the 4. That was my play to make. I ran up the field. Like, he explained what he did wrong. And that's valuable not only to a fan who's like, okay, wow, it feels good to see a defensive player own up to his mistakes, but it's also informational, right? Like, we get to see inside of, you know, the film room when he says something like that. So Snacks is a guy that I just continue to have more and more respect for. And obviously his gameplay is way up to par. And again, kind of a reason to maybe have a little bit of optimism going forward with this defense.
Well, you've kind of opened up the door here talking about self-critique to a guy who I didn't think did well, but I know he's kind of owned up to it. But before we jump in there, I just want to say real quick, Kenny Golladay, still decent.
Yeah, he made some big catches in this game. And it's a shame Stafford wasn't finding him more often, and a couple times he overthrew him. Stafford's just weird this entire game. I still don't know what to make of it. But we just need more separation. We need more separation from him. We need more targets. He was probably targeted like 12 times in this game, 13 times in this game. So yep. I'd still like to see more, just because, I mean, the Lions don't have any other options. The tight ends are useless. Theoretic can only do so much out of the slot. He's not Golden Tate. And Marvin Jones is Marvin Jones. He'll be open sometimes, but most of the time you'll have to force some balls to him too. And I don't want to harp on the Golden Tate stuff too much, but
this offense
is just nothing without him right now.
I kind of get it. And something, again, I've been noticing and harping on for a while now too, and I keep using the analogy about Jenga. It feels like Lions offense since 2016 has been one Jenga block removed after another, and eventually the whole damn thing collapses.
Yeah.
Ryan, I think you wanted to get in here real quick.
I mean, if we can flip over to the offensive side of the ball, since we're talking about Kenny Golladay, I thought Kerryon Johnson, aside from the fumble, which was unfortunate, but I thought outside of that, he had a good game. I mean, the touchdown that he scored on the goal line, like, that's exactly what the Lions have been, you know, missing from their offense for the better part of a year. You know, the struggles that they have had in the red zone and being able to, you know, get the ball in. So, you know, Kerryon Johnson, 14 carries for 51 yards and a touchdown, but then also a touchdown receiving as well. You know, he had 89 yards from scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really impressed with the game that he had. Like I said,
not a bum ankle too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I think that was another thing that I thought was really admirable about what he did on Sundays. You know, he's got this bum ankle. It's clearly affecting him. There was the play where he went over on the sideline and he had so much momentum that he ended up like on the Bears bench, and you could tell he was kind of hobbling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I mean, the guy, like, he came back and he like kept playing. Like, he still scored his receiving touchdown after that. You know, the game was well within hand. Like, I don't feel like at any point in time, you know, the Lions were going to win this game. But I mean, for a guy who was hurt, it would have been really easy for him to say, you know, LeGarrette Blount's here, have him do it. Or Zach Zenner is here, let him do it. So yeah. I like commend him for the performance that he had on Sunday.
People use the term lionized too often, and I guess it's kind of a catch-all term for a player that's just not performing well or isn't giving it all their all, which is really hard to tell from the eye point of view. But if there's a guy that didn't look lionized out there, it was Kerryon Johnson, and I definitely give him a lot of credit. I'm proud of the way he played, like you said, despite the fumble, which was kind of an unfortunate play because he was actually breaking tackles. And like you see a lot of times when you're breaking tackles like that, it allows some people from behind to tackle you and force the fumble there. And didn't end up costing the Lions any yards or any points, because apparently the Lions have some sort of voodoo doll of opposing kickers that allows them to miss four kicks in a game.
Oh my God. I was once again, this is where my notes stand off. Cause like Cody Parkey hit the upright four times. I think it comes out to about 8 points lost. Not enough to win this game, unlike Mason Crosby, but you know, that, as you say, that voodoo doll is getting a lot of work out here.
But to turn into kind of the negative stuff about the game, which, yeah. I mean, we could go a million different angles here, but can we talk just for a second about LeGarrette Blount?
Okay, go there. I have someone on the defensive side to talk about that I've been waiting to jump in on, but go right ahead to Blount.
There's 0 point in this guy getting any more touches this season. I'm sorry. Like, I a year ago, I stand for bringing LeGarrette Blount aboard. This year, I wanted Frank Gore instead. Not trying to toot my own horn here, but LeGarrette Blount is just a waste of a down now. He completely 6 carries for 4 yards. He had 2 goal line carries. They both went for nothing. I'm at a point where LeGarrette Blount has pissed me off so much that I want Zach Zenner in there instead. That's how bad it's gotten.
The one thing I'm upset about when it comes to LeGarrette Blount is I feel like he still has... I think he still has something in the tank, but I'm just seeing the most unimaginative ways of using him and just the wrong ways of using him.
That's fair.
Like, what, I mean, on what world, on what planet, on what plane do we want LeGarrette Blount trying to secure the edge? Like,
stretch plays, man.
Yes. Like,
it makes no sense.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. Like, I don't get it. And a funny statistic if you're looking for something, but 6 carries, 4 yards, he had a long of 5.
Yeah. I mean, before that last run, 5 carries for -1 yards.
Yeah, just absolutely brutal. So I truly think, like, it's a coaching thing.
Nick, while we're on coaching things, 3rd and 1, you're giving it to Nick Ballore.
Wow.
And then you're not. I mean, if you're giving it to Nick Ballore on 3rd and 1 and he doesn't make it, you should be going for it on 4th down, and you don't.
Yeah, you should absolutely be going for it. I think if you were in any position where it was either 4th and short. Or it was you're even barely in plus territory. The Lions defense on the back end was clearly not going to get anything done. So you know how you're going to try to win that game with the strength of your team, which calling the Lions offense the strength of your team is like insanity to me at this point. But their defense is just so bad on the back end that like that's going to be the only way that you maybe have a chance. So you have to be uber aggressive. You're on the road. You're 3-5. Just try anything. But like, punting and, you know, wasting the timeout because you have the field goal unit on and then you end up like
this might get us off on a tangent a little bit, but I thought the end game coaching was the worst it was all year. Like, not even close. Part of it is because they didn't go for it on that early 4th down. I realized they were deep in their own zone, and I realized Lions did go for it 5 times on this game, but it should have been 6. You could tell early on this game was going tilted very quickly, and the Lions defense was just not going to show this day. And so you're right. You need to commit to, hey, we're in a shootout now. We can't afford to give up a possession on a 4th and inches. That's not going to work. And then, like you said, there was the field goal punt thing where if you decide, hey, I guess maybe we're not going to try a 55-yard field goal, take the delay game penalty or go for it. But don't waste a timeout, because guess what? At the end of the half, the Lions very well could have used that timeout. They could have gotten another possession with at least 45 seconds left, probably with good field positions. And who knows what happens then? Because what was it? It was 26-7. You could have gotten another touchdown in there potentially, or at least a field goal, 26-10. Suddenly you come out in the second half, score again, and it's 1-score game. And so, I mean, coaching was just a disaster. I'm not that mad about the challenges at the end of the game, because the reward was kind of up there in terms of value. But at the same time, he lost them both. He lost 2 timeouts that could have been valuable at the end of the game again. And I don't know. I thought Matt Patricia was a smarter man, and he apparently is not.
Speaking of being smart or not, like... And just some of the calls to run the ball late in this game, too. It's like, why are you don't need to keep trying to establish the run game when you're in a hole like that.
Yeah, there's why do the Lions have 24 run attempts in this game? They were down 2 touchdowns like 7 minutes into this game.
Listen, it's a joke. I love establishing the run game, but that's a little too much even for me.
I know. I mean, you probably don't want to get Stafford killed in this game, and I understand that as well. But there's got to be a happy.
What's the other plan? What's the other course of action? Because clearly, you're not going to get done on the ground either.
Yeah, and I think maybe one of the most infuriating coaching decisions in this game was how the game started. The Lions come out, no huddle. They're moving the ball. Halfway through the drive, they just give up on that, and they never go back to it again.
I don't know what that was. That confuses me more than anything else in this game.
It's like they were just trying to tease Lions fans, like, hey, here's what you wanted. Oh, it worked? Well,
too bad.
Again next year.
All right, real quick, we've so kind of burned this segment. And yet I cannot let this segment go without having to talk about the other corners right now. Because Deshaun Shedd spent so much of the day chasing after Allen Robinson. And Nevin Lawson remains an ungodly cipher that I just don't know like what is going on with. And yet I just can't look at this game and say, once again, I have to say, this ain't it, Chief.
Nevin Lawson isn't it. Nevin Lawson isn't it. To be honest, the only defensive back I want to see back next year is
Diggs.
Darius Slay, Quandre Diggs, and Tracy Walker. Everybody else can go.
Yeah, Glover Quinn might be time for him to hang him up.
It is. I hate it because he's been one of my favorite Lions since he's been here, but it's over. It's over. And yeah, I mean, I was going to make a take into the shed joke, but it's just not worth it at this point.
Yeah. I'm going to have to cut your mic right there. Let's not do that. Let's not do that, please.
I don't know what else to say. Like, any quarterback in the league right now, short of Nathan Peterman, could tear this defense apart.
Oh, man, I don't even know. I would give Peterman the benefit of the doubt.
We might have to see Peterman, depending on what happens come December.
Oh, my goodness. That would be
my nightmare.
I think that could be a low.
That would be worse than getting ripped up by Sam Darnold.
Oh, I mean, infinitely. That should have been the warning sign, though, right? Like,
well, man, we try so that's the funny thing about this season. That's the one funny thing is we've spent so long this season going back and forth from that vantage of the Jets game where the Lions got absolutely wasted, trying to figure out anything to say that this team is better than that game. And we've looked through these things like cones, like through fortune cookies, looking on things like Patriots wins or close losses to the 49ers or the win over the Dolphins. And yet somehow after the month of October, we've ended up back here.
Yeah.
That's
a really good point to be made because I think after the Dolphins game, I probably said, throw out that Jets game. That's not who this team is. And I was wrong because we're 2 months later now. And the exact same things are happening. Stafford is turning the ball over. The offense is lost. Special teams is still kind of a mess.
By the way, Sam Martin
can't stop anything.
By the way, Sam Martin going to the hospital after that game, too. Like, special teams could get a lot worse from here.
Well, I don't know. Sam Martin was not playing well, so.
Yeah, well, I mean,
a punter off the street, and I don't know if it's that big of a step down.
I mean, injuries, too, just kind of really starting to pile up.
The
Michael Roberts, the shoulder injury.
Michael Roberts, Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay left for a little bit. A'shaun Robinson left, and I believe he came back as well. Laveen Toilolo left for that, and Kerryon Johnson, obviously very much dealing with an ankle injury. I would not be surprised to see at least half of those guys missing on Wednesday's practice. It's only going to get worse.
So when do you shut down? When do you shut down Stafford?
You don't.
All right. We've still got two segments to go here. I just threw it out as a firebrand. When we come back, I think I'm going to do my little mini rage corner, which fits in well. It's basically like this is some group therapy we're about to do. How to deal with the rest of this season as a Lions fan. We'll be right back. We're back, baby. Pride of Detroit podcast, trying to really brewing up as much coffee as possible right now, and maybe trying to find some uppers for Jeremy and Ryan after this awful game. I don't know. Something, anything. We'll try anything. What are you guys trying?
Cocaine? No, I don't know. Nothing. Nothing helps.
You're not supposed to say that on a podcast.
I'm not trying cocaine, kids. Don't do it. I've never had it and never will, but don't do it. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I'm just saying things into a microphone to try to keep myself awake, because all I want to do is go to bed and put that game behind me right now.
And I refuse to let you. Let me do a little mini rage corner. No music for this one, but and it's going to be literally like a couple of sentences, which is why I'm not going to run the music for it. There's only one qualification to being a fan, and that is when your team does well, you cheer for them. That's it. Done. That's it. So the only thing you need to be a fan of a given team. You don't have to feel a certain way about a coach. You don't have to be defending or condemning a player. You don't have to be sticking with the team when it's really starting to suck. You don't have to be ignoring them either. Just that's the one thing. That is the one thing that makes a fan a fan. That's it. A lot of people want to police what a fan means. They're wrong. No fan police. F the fan police.
Just like, I don't understand why other fans let fans affect them. I've learned this that maybe it's just being a moderator of a Detroit Lions website, but I've learned I don't care how you fan how you want. You want to complain about Stafford and say the Lions should trade him, that's fine. It's completely illogical and never going to happen, but if that's what gets you to feel better at night, go for it. I wish I could just say, hey, we should trade Stafford and then fall asleep and be fine, but
I think it's just there's very polarized sides when it comes to the Lions fan base, is that you've got doom and gloom, but then you've polarized the side opposite of it to be like hyper defensive about anything that comes in.
Sure.
And you dare ever say anything bad about this team.
And I get it from both sides. I get being frustrated as a Lions fan. How couldn't you be? And I get the people that want to just be happy at all times, because it sucks being miserable all the time. So why not try to look on the
I don't even know if they're being happy. They're just being defensive. And I kind of get it. You can only bear so many jokes about the Lions just sucking forever. But
if you're an angry fan that wants to hear other people yell, I get it. And there's an outlet for you. It's called radio. And if you want to be the kind of the fan that wants to only hear happy stuff, there's plenty of outlets for that too. And part of it is probably Pride of Detroit, because we tend to try to focus on the positive things because it gets us through the season. Because guess what? The next 2 months are going to suck. But this is a good segue into this segment, right? Like, hey.
It is. How can you deal with this? And I'll let you know straight away on this podcast, and Jeremy's not going to hear it, but I'm going to try to be ramping up draft talk. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of people who tell me I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to the draft, but guess what? I like college football.
I do too, man. It's kind of the only sport that I care about right now.
The only sport that you can be a fan of in Michigan and not be completely just desolate with your emotions.
No, man. Red Wings 6 out of the last 7, baby.
Goodness gracious.
Stop.
Coming back. Stevie Y next year.
Stop it. Stop it.
All right. You want to talk about how
what are we going to do right now? Because things aren't looking well for this team. And I think we've looked ahead on the schedule. And boy, if you thought the Bears loss sucked, guess what? The Panthers are coming to town. I know they just got mollywopped by the Steelers, but I don't think this Lions team is constructed to really convincingly beat the Panthers right now.
Or any team in the NFL. But
or any team. The Bears are then coming back around for Thanksgiving, and I do not foresee Ford Field being a very kind team. I mean, being a very kind venue to this team right now. And then guess what happened? Jesus. And then guess what happens when the calendar flips to December? It's the Rams.
Do you think Do you think that Stafford tries to say something about how like his Ford F-150 won't start, so he can't make it to the stadium?
I don't even know where. Let's
just get into this segment already, because this is getting depressing, and the Rams are already going to have their division locked up, so they're not even going to be playing their starters.
That's you don't know that. You don't know they that. Will, like, this they is will the NFL, have, man.
They absolutely will have. They could literally clinch their division next week. I saw that.
I know. But we're talking about the NFL here. Yeah. Starters just keep playing.
Yeah, no, the Rams backups could beat us right now. That's fine. Either way. All right. Here's what I'm going to say to Lions fans looking for a reason to tune in each week. Number one, you're free. You don't have to come up with these crazy scenarios in which the Lions are going to make the playoffs. They're not. You know this now. So, first of all, just enjoy football for what it is. We're not going to have it in 2 months. So enjoy football as the game it is. And sure, your team's not going to win a lot of games. That's going to suck. But I watch football because I love the game of football. And that's what I'm going to be doing every week now. I'm not going to get my hopes up for a win. I'm not going to get my hopes up that the Lions finish the season 6-0 and somehow slip their way into a 10-6 season and any of that. It's not going to happen. Even if it did, I'm not even sure 10-6 would win the division. It probably wouldn't. So you're free. You're free. Enjoy football for the pure sport that it is. I'm not saying put away your fandom. You can cheer for the team to win. Just realize, not the end of the world if they lose, because there's no stakes anymore.
You could just make memes. You could go completely weird with this team.
Sure. Make
Why
memes.
Why not? Yeah.
Talk about Caldwell and put his face on things and thinking Caldwell emoji guy. I don't know. I don't know what you kids do. But sure, make some emojis, make some GIFs. Don't call them GIFs or I'm going
to
reach through my computer screen and strangle you.
We're getting dark again here.
It's 1 o'clock. What do you want from me?
I don't know. All right, I'm on the West Coast.
Yeah, lucky you. So here is the way that I am going to watch the games and enjoy them. And today was actually a pretty good case in point of that, which might sound insane, but however, like, find joy in the insane things that can happen during a football game. Like, I don't know, a field goal kicker missing 4 extra points and hitting the field goal post on all of them. Like, and not just like grazing it, but every single one of those kicks, there was an audible dong off of each and every one of them. So I think as you're watching games on Sunday or on Thursday on Thanksgiving, just find joy in the wild and wacky and weird things that can happen during an NFL game. Because like you said, Jeremy, the stakes are completely out of it. Bofa for Bosa, play dead for Ed, whatever it is you want. As long as it's not, I was going to say a tight end, but I mean, it would be really nice to have Eric Ebron right about now, right?
Oh, man, we almost got through it without mentioning his name.
Well, you know what? He almost got through the first half without scoring 4 touchdowns because he scored 3.
By the way, I'm naming my non-existent band Audible Dong.
Audible Dong? Thank you.
Audible Dong.
But I mean, that was good. Like, so my friends and I are watching the game and they hate me because they're like, you know, we don't want you to come over anymore on Sundays because you make us watch the Lions game. Like, we just want to watch Red Zone. Why can't we just watch Red Zone? And I'm like, I have to watch the Lions game. And they're like, this is torture. But the only time that we found fun in it was when, you know, Cody Parkey is audible donging it off the field goal post.
We don't really have titles for episodes, but can we just title this one Audible Dong?
Audible Dong? Yeah, sure. Lions versus Bears, Audible Dong. I'm pretty sure that's going to get taken off iTunes if I name it that, though. I'm going to have to come up with some creative spelling of dong.
Do it with a zero.
Jesus Christ. Like, how unreal is that? You get two times, the two teams you play against, both in your division, where their kickers just decide to just completely crap themselves when they're playing you.
Like, we're definitely going to call those, like, those are LinkedIn performances, right?
Get it? That's our new sponsorship, LinkedIn.
Yeah. two of those games. And this Lions team couldn't capitalize on it this time.
LinkedIn, get your resume ready.
Play the game.
Blunder of the game. Yeah.
I think what was also so satisfying about those missed kicks too, though, is like how happy the Lions like players were. They're like, yeah, he missed it. It's like, you guys are still terrible. You're not going to do anything.
Still getting crushed.
You're not going to turn like these into points. Like, what are you excited about? Yeah, he missed the kick. I mean, but then again, at the same time, it's like, you know what? Put myself in their shoes, in their position. You guys audible donging it off the post. It's awesome.
Can I share my advice?
Please.
Sometimes you just need to turn the game off and go do some other stuff, but always make sure to come back to Pride Detroit and catch up on what you missed.
Oh, wow. The hashtag sponsored tweet.
Sponsored tweet, but like, I mean, there's no shame in missing part of this game, especially if you get incredibly frustrated with what's going on, too.
Oh, like
I know our boy John Whitaker, he gets really emotional about the games. He really does, because he loves this team, and he just had to turn it off and go watch some CFL and some esports. It's fine. He didn't miss much in the second half.
Yeah. I mean, if you really like football, too, like, hopefully you have the red zone or something, because... And that's honestly what gets me. That's what got me through today.
Teams out there right now. There's so many good teams to watch. There's so many exciting teams and storylines going on around the NFL right now.
Today was a weird day, though.
Yeah, I was going to say
there were so many blowouts. There were so many blowouts.
The Patriots lost by 24 today. I kind of wish I would have watched that game just to see what the hell happened.
Yeah, like, I don't know how the hell Jacksonville lost other than Eric Ebron, but.
Okay, but that's why.
But like Buffalo 41, Jets 10.
Goodness gracious. They kept on cutting back to that game, and it was like LeSean McCoy was playing like it was 2010. It was wild.
I Jeremy, you're going to have to find someone else to do these NFL picks against the spread, because my record is ass after this week.
I think everyone's is, but yeah, it's a wacky game, and this is why I do kind of enjoy playoffs, especially when the Lions aren't in it, is because I can go full focus on those games, and
yeah, you can just
wacky stuff happens and it's fun, and it's why I love football season despite the Lions being so bad year in and year out, is just because football is wacky and it's fun, and that's how I'm going to treat the last 8 weeks of the season.
I mean, we had a Joe Horn cell phone celebration. We didn't even get to talk about it last podcast. Michael Thomas pulled out a cell phone in the end zone, paying homage to Joe Horn.
And then someone jumped behind the camera today. Who was it? I don't really
remember. Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill, yeah, he got on the camera. That's right.
He jumped up, and I that was so creative. I love that.
He's gonna get fined.
Yeah, Michael Thomas got fined, too, but that's fine. That's fine. Someone pick up their tabs, please.
Oh, my goodness gracious. But, like, my favorite thing about the Michael Thomas celebration was Troy Aikman clutching his pearls and just being like,
everyone was doing it. Michael Strahan was, everyone was flipping out.
Yeah, but it was so good. Like Troy Aikman, like, oh, geez, like the coded racism. I thought he was one of the good ones. Oh my goodness, Troy, what did you just say? Like, you know, like the wide receiver that like was highly prolific when you're on the Cowboys, like Michael Irvin stabbed somebody over a haircut. Like
speaking of cocaine.
Yeah. Speaking of geez, like it's so good. Like he's like, well, it's really gonna cost them, like it's too close of a game to be doing stuff like that. It's
even
like
the day after here in LA, like on local LA radio, I heard guys like tisking Michael Thomas on that, and it's just like I don't get it, guys. Like it's like, what if that had cost you a game? It's like, yeah, what if, and not like everything else that was going in on that game. Like, woohoo, congrats. Like, just embrace joy. Embrace the fun side of this stuff. And that means sometimes there's fun in weird and dumb teams. And that's why I keep with the Lions, even though everyone says I'm not a fan or I should not talk about certain things or whatever. It's like, look, this team at the end of the day is weird. It's a really weird team, even when it's blowing up. And I just wish it was more interesting as it was blowing up. I wish like Stafford would like, you know, suddenly throw the ball like the wrong way. not to like a defender, but like throw it down back up the other way on the field.
I want to see him just throw it in Rich Gannon's face on the sideline once.
I want to see Taylor Decker on a tackle eligible play. That would be fun.
By the way, I just saw a replay of that Taylor Decker play where he gets bowled over by Khalil Mack.
Ragnow stepped on his foot.
Yep. It's true. I didn't see that before. So
yeah,
it's an unfortunate just like posterizing of him that you have to kind of look closely to see.
We need comedy of errors. That's what
that was one.
Yeah, exactly.
But just to kind of bring it all back to the Lions here, if you're a fan of this team and you want to root for them and you want more than just wackiness ensuing, the young players is the final reason why you should be excited about this team, because like I was saying before, you'll see more of them. This year's draft class does look really good. And granted, it's early, and just like you don't want to call a player bust this early, you don't want to necessarily crown someone this early, but Deshaun Hand picked up another sack. Kerryon Johnson continues to look good. Frank Ragnow is the least of the Lions' worries on the offensive line, except when he's stepping on our left tackle's feet. Tracy Walker had a good play today. We'll almost undoubtedly see more of him in the last month or two of the season. So that's something to be excited for, because I don't think anyone really wants to see too much more of this other Lion secondary out there. Like, even if it means sitting Glover Quinn, I think we'd all be better off for it.
But we're just preaching. We're preaching anarchy here. We're saying, if you want to watch the young guys, go ahead and do it. If you want to watch for the wackiness, go ahead and do it. If you want to tune out, go ahead and do it. Just make sure you read Pride of Detroit at the end of the day. That's all. Like, do you. Don't tell people what to do. That's all.
And then the one other thing to mention, though, is like Tracy Walker like had a good like pass breakup, but like that's also like a relatively very low bar that we're setting, just because nobody else does those on Sunday. So he does that, and we're like, oh, he's good. He can get his hand in and affect passes. Quandre Diggs had a really good one in the end zone too.
He did. Yeah. Ooh, I just have another reason to watch. Play the game. Will Nevin Lawson ever get his first career interception?
Dude, I hope he just keeps that game ball when he does. Everyone's going to be like bagging on him for not getting more earlier, but you know what? I'm rooting for him to get one.
Absolutely. I'm rooting for Nevin Lawson to get one. I'm also, or you can play the game. Does Nevin Lawson's neck work? Like other people's necks work.
See, there's hope for the rest of the season after all. We're going to take a quick break and we come back. We're going to dive into the mailbag. It's depressing, but there's some fun questions in here too. As always, we will be right back.
Double dong.
Mail time.
Mail's here.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Mail time. Hashtag AskPOD. As always, get your questions in anytime, anywhere, any place. We'll try to answer as many as we can unless they really depress us. Or if it's something that we cover earlier in the podcast, we won't usually like revisit it in the mailbag unless we really like the question. It's just how the thing goes. Like, I know a lot of people ask really good Lions questions, and it just so happens that we happen to accidentally answer those as we're going along. But guess what? We're using your questions to help write the show, as it were. We usually do reviews at this point, but I think we said last time we're just going to be done with that.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. I'm not pulling out my phone this late. Screw it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's pretty late for you guys. Okay. I don't know where to start. Actually, I do. Rodney Lane, hashtag AskPOD, what is your favorite play call on 3rd and 20?
On offense or on defense?
I think he means when the Lions are on offense.
Because on defense, it's don't cover anybody.
Jesus Christ.
Engage 8.
Oh, man. I know my least favorite is a draw play. Like, you might as well take a knee there if you're going to do that. The Lions actually had like a 3rd and 20 and they threw it downfield. And they I felt bad because I sent like 3 tweets right before. Like, okay, here comes a draw or screenplay. Then it didn't come. Of course, they didn't complete the pass, but
they tried.
They did try, and I give them credit for that, because when you throw the ball in third and 20, pretty much only good things can happen. Maybe it gets intercepted. Maybe you get sacked, but you were third and 20 anyway, so who cares? I mean, the Lions had a really great third down interception today. Matthew Stafford threw a perfect arm punt. So maybe that's it, the arm punt. I think the arm punt is my favorite third and 20 play. And Stafford pinned him deep, so.
He did.
Maybe we don't even need Sam Martin. Arm punts. The future of this offense, arm punts.
See, but that's the thing. Like, you arm punts, there might be something to that, because you can't, like, fair catch an arm punt.
You probably should not get down, though.
You should not catch it at all.
Yeah.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's true. But what if you're still throwing receivers out there, though, and it's like you kind of have to catch it, because else they might go for it, too. Do you have
Chris,
to keep
I'm glad you are not a defensive back coach.
I'm
not
thinking
that you can
way
be
too
worse
much
than
this.
The Lions defensive backs right now. Maybe you are you what? The defensive backs coach?
I'm just saying, what happens on 4th and 20? You just go out there and tell Stafford just to wing it Hail Mary, and we're gonna put, I don't know, the most athletic defensive backs out there out in the wideouts.
What?
So they can go out there and look like they might be able to catch that pass. And now you've got to catch it. You can't just let it fall to the turf, or else they might get the ball and they get the first down.
I have no idea.
Now you've
got to
pin them deep.
I don't know what's happening right now, but the title of this podcast is Arm Punts and Audible Dongs.
I need a second.
Maybe we should always record at 1 a.m. I'm not sure what's happening right now, but I think it's kind of lightning magic. In a bottle.
It's magic is what it is. It's the magic of this team crushing us beneath its boot. All right. Next question here from Logan Smith. What is the best snow cone flavor?
I can't remember the last time I had a snow cone.
It's blue.
Yeah, blue is probably the answer.
Snow cones are trash. You're basically, someone looked at a dog peeing in snow and was like, hey, what if we made that taste a little better?
A little better. The operative word, little. Yeah. I mean, shaved ice, it's basically just like drinking a slush puppy, right? So, I mean, whatever.
To be
blue's the best flavor. Blue
shave
raspberry.
Ice. The Hawaiian treat is delicious. Snow cones, trash.
Oh, God. Here we go. We're arguing semantics.
Shaved ice is totally different.
And here I thought shaved ice, we were talking about some sort of like fruit bar or something. And I don't know. I don't know
and
what's
to be clear,
going on.
To all the Hawaiian people out there, I'm saying shave ice, not shaved ice, because that's different. It's not how you say it.
Technically, you're cheating because we do have a person like really intimate with Hawaiian culture on our staff, and Andrew Cotto. And every time I go out for poke, he is very quick to correct me whether or not I get authentic poke or not.
Delicious, though.
It is.
Both
Americanized,
I guess Americanized is the wrong word.
Americanized poke is fine, too.
It is. I'm just saying Americanized is probably a poor term for it, since Hawaii is in America.
People know what we mean. Yeah. Megan Nisbet asking us, hate to interject a non-Lions question to break up the negativity. No, Megan, please do. Please do. What is your favorite Disney/Pixar film?
Furiously starts typing Disney/Pixar films into Google.
I'm assuming, so we can include our, because it is Disney/Pixar, are we limiting ourselves then to 3D, or just can it be anything?
Can be anything. My answer is definitely Coco.
Coco. Oh,
I have yet. I haven't seen Coco.
Coco's really good.
I cried. You know? Not afraid to admit that I cried.
I was moved emotionally.
That's really good. As a kid, it was Lion King, and not because of the Detroit Lions at all. I like the music in that one. And then I really liked WALL-E when it came out. I'm not sure if WALL-E still holds up. I haven't watched it in a while. And there are some seriously good movies coming out, like Coco, that might overtake it. But I'll stick with Lion King and Wally.
Yeah. So you're a big fan of Hamlet?
Yes.
Okay.
I have no clue how to answer this question. I really don't.
You don't like any of them.
You pick a movie.
No.
You don't like Joey.
I can't pick a movie is the problem.
Just say one that you like.
Okay, fine. I have to make sure it's Disney because I don't want to screw this up. Yes. Okay, cool. The Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, damn it. All right. That's a really close second. That's a really good movie. Also, sidebar, don't watch Kronk's New Groove. It's bad. It's really bad.
It's bad. Yeah. Like sequels, Disney, God bless them. I'm glad they figured out Marvel can make franchises for them because they cannot do sequels. They just can't. They've never been able to do sequels.
Oh, man.
There's got to be a counterexample. I guess the Toy Story franchise did okay with
sequels. But that's Pixar.
Well, they're just one of the same now, aren't they?
Yeah, but like I'm talking like specifically like Disney films themselves.
Okay, the old ones,
like the Disney feature animations. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Good question.
No, I like it. I like it. I'm glad that I got Ryan to rethink his question. That's always a good time when I can give him a curveball like that.
I just watched Emperor's New Groove not too long ago.
It's so good. It's
full of so many quotables. Speaking of animated films, I went to go see the new Grinch on Friday. It was good. It was a nice little watch. If you have young kids, I would recommend taking them to go see it.
Is it better than the Jim Carrey thing?
I really like the Jim Carrey film. I might be in the minority, but I enjoyed
it. I've met some other people who like it. It just wasn't my bag.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's cool. I mean, like, I like Pharrell. Pharrell did the narration.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, Kenan Thompson was in it, so that's always a thing.
Because I've been without a day job for a while, I've been kind of swinging and missing on seeing some of the new films. I've missed Venom and I missed Bad Times the El Royale. Kind of want to see that. I guess I'll probably see Aquaman when it comes out. I know that's not part of this question, but everything is Disney now, and I'm sure DC will be Disney before long, but whatever.
This podcast will be Disney before long.
Everything's going to be Disney before long, man. That's just how it works.
I wouldn't mind getting some of that Disney money.
I don't think they'd pay us, even when we were with them. Let's see here. Let me find another question here. We're going to have to go back to Lions on this one. Sorry about that. Chris at Chris J. Lee asking us, why is Eric Ebron doing better in Indianapolis?
Well,
we're going to have to cut this one. Let's go. Yeah, we're cutting the wound right now.
Because Indianapolis throws it a billion times, first of all. And they know how to use him. I mean, what he caught? He caught four passes today, I think. So it wasn't like he blew the scene up. Three of them just happened to go for touchdowns, or I think one was a run. But I don't know. They're utilizing him. They know he's a red zone threat. And I don't know if the Lions just didn't realize that or what, but I don't know.
I was just gonna say
if you look at his overall PFF grade, and I know PFF isn't the end all be all, he's not actually playing that much better individually on a down to down basis than he was in Detroit, but he's being utilized where he's the most valuable, and that's in the red zone. So he's scoring a shit ton of touchdowns.
Yeah, I just trying to figure out what's going on with Ebron being out there doing all this stuff in Indianapolis has been frustrating. And it's more frustrating because fans don't want to hear it and don't want to talk about it. And I hate to keep pointing to my column I wrote in the offseason or stuff, but I mean, I guess I just liked Ebron when he was with the Lions. I thought he was personable. I understand everyone doesn't want to hear that when he's dropping passes, but you know what? I'm glad he's doing well in Indianapolis. He's got like what, 7 touchdowns on the year already?
Oh no, he has 9.
Oh, more?
I believe
9. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh crap. Yeah, no. This sheet. This is what I get looking at some outdated stats. My bad. 9. What was Gronk's record again? I think he's on par. Whatever. This was a bad question. We're going to see. We were doing fine on Disney movies and snow cones.
Then we
came back here.
Took a hard left right into the darkness again.
Well, I'm just saying that's pretty much all that's left is darkness. We can go back to figuring out our arm punt strategy. We could do
audible
that.
Dong.
Please no.
Jacob Music asking us, well, he's got two. I'll take two of his questions here. He's got first one is Scott Linehan reunion question mark. I thought Stafford was lights out with Linehan.
Let's not do this.
Do you realize how much Cowboys fans hate Scott Linehan right now? Because it's an 11 on a 10 scale right now. And I know they just won a big Thursday or Sunday night game, but they hate Scott Linehan. This team needs to go forward, not backwards. And I mean that both in the literal sense of they can't be hiring people that used to be on the team and the fact that Scott Linehan is considered an old mind in the NFL now. Chris and I were talking about this off air. The Lions offensively, schematically, are moving backwards in time, and that's not the thing that you need to be doing. You need to find a fresh mind. You need to find a Matt Nagy, a Sean McVay. And I know that's not easy, but going over retreads from guys who were best 10 years ago, that's not the way to make this offense better. I know Stafford was throwing 40 touchdowns in Scott Linehan this year, but you have to realize that the NFL has changed a lot since then. That was almost 10 years ago.
And that was with Calvin Johnson, too, at the end of the day. I'm sorry. Like, that is a big factor to it as well. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, you're right. I did want to talk about it more, and we just kind of got away with it because we had so many other good conversations going on here. But maybe that's something we sit down with in a later podcast when we talk about what do the Lions need to do? What is the future of the NFL? Because, yeah, I mentioned that I felt like the Lions had kind of lost this arms race with, you know, the Vikings, with the Bears. God knows what's going to happen once the Packers finally wise up and fire Mike McCarthy and try to, you know, make their team minty new and fresh. But it just feels like the Lions kind of, they took a step backwards in time going for old school, you know, run first, play out of some sweet, clean pockets. You know, maybe try to work out, maybe the most dynamic thing is maybe working out a two tight end set. But I think even that, the two tight end sets kind of passed by. It's something different now with these schemes.
Plus, you kind of need tight ends to run out of a two tight end set. And the Lions don't.
Yeah, well, there's that. We've got some more questions about offensive coordinators, too. And I mean, again, I think we talked about it enough last week. I just don't know what's going to happen, like, once you go past Jim Bob Cooter.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I don't feel like throwing out names out there until it's actually done, until they actually fire Jim Bob Cooter. I'll start the research now, but, like, otherwise you're just like, oh, I don't know, let's just take someone from the Rams staff, or let's take someone from the Chiefs staff, or let's take someone from the Bears staff.
Let's take someone from college. Let's take Hugh Jackson. It's just more outlandish, but, like, no. Do you remember what happened when Joe Lombardi got fired? They walked out. Like, who among us were talking about Jim Bob Cooter up until that point? Like, we weren't talking about Jim Bob Cooter. They walked down the hallway. They knocked on the door of the quarterback's coach and said, congratulations, you're the OC now.
Right. I mean, that's going to happen with any midseason firing. The surprise was that it worked, and he basically saved his own job.
Yeah.
For a while.
Josh Harrington asking us, what's more disappointing, this Lions team or the ending of How I Met Your Mother?
Oh, How I Met Your Mother was such an awful show.
I don't know why people like that show.
It's because Neil Patrick Harris I mean, he has a really good cast, I'll be honest. Neil Patrick Harris is a charismatic guy. I like him, and I also like the guy from...
Jason Segel.
Jason Segel, thank you. I like Jason Segel a lot, and those guys are funny. I don't know. The standard sitcom doesn't do it for me. We're going to lose a lot of people saying that show is trash, but
that's fine. No, someone made me sit down through it. Like, I was living with a bunch of people up in Vancouver when I was living up there for 2 years. I was living out of their house for a while. And around the time of Canadian Thanksgiving, which is back in October, they wanted to sit down. And while we were trying to make Thanksgiving dinner, they wanted to go through a How I Met Your Mother marathon. with the expressed purpose of getting to the Slapsgiving episode. And I've kind of hated them ever since for it.
Well, here's the thing. If you've ever watched any CBS sitcom and enjoyed it, you're either 70 years old or older, or you just have the worst sense of humor ever, and you've never actually seen comedy ever. Which, I mean, it's fine.
Comedy snob Jeremy's shown up here, folks.
I am absolutely 100% a comedy snob. You guys need to know that if you don't know that about me already.
I was going to say, how are you dealing with that? Because you used to go to comedy shows in L.A. all the time. We've never talked about this part of you moving back to Michigan.
It's I definitely have withdrawals, but, you know, the comedy of errors that I get to see every Sunday have kept me.
Perfect. Way to go.
I know comedy. Man.
Yeah, you get it. We still got to go to Ridley's Comedy Castle here pretty soon.
True.
Also, to go along with like How I Met Your Mother, Josh Radnor is awful, like as like Ted Mosby. Like, I don't, Josh Radnor is probably like a nice person. I don't know. Actually, I have no idea who Josh Radnor is as a person, but like Ted Mosby is just one of those like awful television characters that's so stock and so neurotic, and he's the Ross. Oh, it's ugh. Ugh.
Chris Gordon asking us, he's got two questions. I'm going to read this first one here, which this first one does not make my blood boil. The second one will. First one is, if we had hired Nagy instead of Patricia, would we be where the Bears are tonight?
Oh, I love playing this game.
Well, I think the answer to this is no, because again, like, we're just not as talented. The Lions team's just not as talented as this Bears team right now.
It would be interesting, though. Like, would Eric Ebron be on the team if Matt Nagy was hired?
Yeah, personnel.
Golden Tate would almost certainly still be on the team if Matt Nagy was hired.
Personnel decisions would absolutely be an interesting part of this team, for sure.
And I mean, yeah, maybe instead of keeping Jim Bob Cooter, the team keeps Terrell Austin instead. I don't know. It's actually, the more I think about this question, the more interesting it gets to me. I think the team would be more exciting and more interesting.
Definitely more exciting on offense, that's for sure.
The thing is, I'm not ready to say it would have been a better move long term. I'm just not ready to give up. I mean, I'm not going to lie. The thoughts have crossed my head for the first time of thinking maybe the Matt Patricia hire was a really, really bad move. But I'm not ready to throw the towel in.
I'll ask you again in December. How's that?
I'm going to give him more than a year. Okay. I mean, there's nothing more that can happen this season that's going to make me feel worse about the team. Because I've already seen no progress.
Okay. I mean, I think this is something I want to like debate you on another podcast for sure, because like I have a very different view about this, especially when it comes to the Lions window. But Chris Gordon's second question, and this is where I end the podcast screaming, is he asks, can we get Charlie Weiss to replace Cooter?
Oh boy. Everyone back up. Chris is about to explode.
Fuck. Thank you for listening to the Pride Detroit PODcast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Brian Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I Am Brian Shepherd. IAMBRIANSHEPARD. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday, so go check him out. That's I Am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you, Star Side.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. you can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes, and with as little as $10, by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.